God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel lesson this morning is somewhat confusing for a farm boy like me about the grain, because you want to protect the grain. You want to make sure you have big crops. And if you want to avoid the docking fees at the co-op because you had to harvest it while it was wet, you put a granary up and then you try to dry it before you haul it in later in the year when the price of wheat went up. So I'm very familiar with the practice of this, but it's very interesting to hear about not doing those things. So it's a little confusing. But likewise, the whole gospel lesson is somewhat confusing, isn't it? It's confusing that yet we need to prepare and take care of ourselves and our family. At the same time, the gospel appears to say, don't do that. And so it's a little bit of a duality there in the lesson today. And there are some Christian religions that would say, if you don't have things, stuff, money, you're not blessed. And there's others that say, if you do have things, stuff, money, then you're blessed. So it's a confusing lesson for all of us. But I want to turn your eye to something slightly different. In the gospel lesson, it talks about the goods and about riches and about those things clouding us. I bet I could ask any one of you or all of you, and you would all pick out different characteristics of our current currency. I mean, some of you will pick out different things on a dollar bill, on a $100 bill, on a quarter, on nickels. Some would even know when we had silver half-dollar coins, etc. Some will know about the 64 half-dollar 50-cent piece. And some of that we learn, and we know a tremendous amount about these coins and currency and about our financial ecosystem within the U.S. One characteristic of a $100 bill, see if you know this. It is 0.0043 inches thick. Do you know that? Didn't know that. If you stack $100 bills to make $1 million, it would be 43 inches tall. If you try to do $1 billion, it would be 3,583 feet tall, almost a half a mile. If you do $1 trillion, it's 678.66 miles tall. And did you know that our annual healthcare spend is $3.4 trillion? If you take $100 bills and stack it, it's 2,307.44 miles tall, reaching from Los Angeles to New York. We know a lot about our financial ecosystem and economy and all of these things. I bet you know what the current interest rate is if you got a house loan today. I bet you got a credit card in the mail last week, application, and it said right there the APR, and you know what that would do. And we have such buying power. We can purchase ourselves in the deepest debt we could possibly find. Last month, my son-in-law was stationed at Fort Knox, and he was able to see Fort Knox, and he'd see 10-foot tall fence, barbed wire. Few yards farther, another 10 or 12 foot tall fence, barbed wire, and then another one. He doesn't even know if there was gold in Fort Knox that will sustain the notes in our healthcare system. We don't know. It's completely protected. We don't know if there's any, it might be an empty room. I don't know. But we know a lot about that stuff. But we don't know a lot about God. God knows us. He knew us before we were born. He knows every hair on your head, or lack of. He knows you. He knows your talents, your treasures, your gifts. He gave those to you. We don't know him as well as we know those things chasing the dollar bill. We don't know God well enough. To me, the gospel lesson is speaking to that. When my oldest daughter was about 10 years old, I lived on a farm at the time. And we had a telescope, and we would go out and face south, and there was no lights around, and we would look at all the stars. We've seen Saturn, we've seen Mars, we've seen the polar caps of Mars. And we would document and we would write these all down and draw it up in a notebook. And I still have those. But my youngest daughter doesn't get to experience that because there's a lot of light noise living in the city. We don't see near as well, even with the same telescope. So we don't bother. That light noise is like all the noise in our lives around the goods and services and the dollars when we try to see God. We hear all the chatter, all the mails, another credit card here and there. And then we end up holding on to things. You might buy something new, but then it gets old and needs maintenance, and it rusts, and it needs replaced, and it needs repaired. And we get distracted so much that we are removed from God because we don't know Him. One of the blessings as clergy that we get to experience, and it's a gift, when a family invites us into their home or invites us even in their darkest hour when they have lost someone. And as we prepare and talk to them and prepare the eulogy and the funeral service and the arrangement, we get very intimate and very close with that family. I remember a time in one of the churches I had in Western Kansas where this was the case. A very prominent member of the community passed away. I'm working with a family, and we're going through all the grieving process. And the family tore themselves apart over tiny little things. Now, it's not to mean that that family was greedy. It was how they dealt with the grief of the loss of that person. They associated the things with that person. Even the cousins to the aunt, even the children, they didn't know how that love and relationship was channeled through them through God. And these little things, these tokens, if you will, almost separated them to the point where no one was coming to the funeral. It was a tough time. It was a tough time in a young priest's life, and it was a really tough time for that family. And that's what happens when we get clouded and we have all this noise of the material things around us that takes our attention off of God. And we don't know God as well as we should. We don't know Him as well as the goods and services that we enjoy every day. We don't know Him as well as we do our own currency. I didn't know these facts that I read to you. Somebody else gave them to me. But it's interesting that we know that much, and we don't know God that much. If you were here a couple Sundays ago, I preached about listening to what God says to you. Letting Him get to know you, and you get to know Him in a relationship where we're not asking Him for something, is really important, because we don't know Him as well as we should. I don't know Him as well as I ought to know Him. I need to listen more. I need to pay attention more. And then allow Him to use me more. Let Him channel His love through me so we can reach out to those who are still clouded by all the things of these earth, all of our earthly desires. Let Him use us to build relationships. Not only of our neighbors and those that we don't know, but also within our own family. So when that darkest hour does come, we know how to respond. We know it's the love that we had with that person, or the love we had with our family, or the love and the relationship that we had that we hold on to. All the stories you've heard me preach about with my family are things that I cherish more than any goods or services or anything that they may possess. I will be the first one and the oldest one to say, I don't want to go clean up my mom and dad's mess when they're gone. I don't want that. I'm going to have to, but I don't want to hold on to that, and that's not who they are. who they are is the experience and the stories I've told you about within the family. That's who they are. That's who we are. It's not the things that we, or the house we live in, what we're driving. That's not who we are. God knows who you are. Do you know God? Open yourself to get to know God better. Open yourself to be used as a vessel of God's love and change the world. Change the world using the love that channels through you as you reach out and touch other lives. Be a good and faithful servant to God, but get to know Him. Take some time and know Him much better. Amen.